This is the Tech Talk for Accountants show with your host, Andrew Lassise, where every week we have a new guest to discuss the latest technology, apps, tips, and tricks to help you improve your accounting firm. This episode is brought to you by Tech for Accountants, an IT firm that specializes in cybersecurity for the small accounting firm. Many of our clients used to work at big firms that had all this crazy security and then went to work for themselves. And while they knew it was important to have great IT security, they just have too many other things to worry about and don't have enough time to actually learn this stuff. What we do is help bridge the gap so that even small accounting firms have great security at a fraction of the cost of doing it themselves, and it's all done for you. We offer listeners to the show a complimentary IT audit and consultation. Just go to tech4accountants.net/podcast. And you can book a free IT audit. Again, that's tech4accountants.net/podcast.
All righty. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Tech Talk for Accountants show. And I'm your host, Andrew Lassise, with Tech for Accountants IT, specializing in the accounting industry. With us today, we have Eric Green from the Tax Rep Network. And we're going to be hitting on a bunch of different topics, but Eric is someone, he's in the small percentage of now repeat guests on the show. You're in good company. Of those, you know, sometimes it's like, oh yeah, this goes great. And sometimes it's like, okay, I'm gonna put like a dog ear on this one for like, you know, 2 years down the road. It's maybe a while ago since we first chatted. But Eric, for those who aren't familiar, give us a little background on yourself.
So I'm a tax attorney. The focus of my practice is civil and criminal taxpayer representation. My law partner and I have built a 25-person law firm over the last 10 years. And we have an online community, Tax Rep Network. And I have a podcast, you know, Tax Rep Network podcast, but where we effectively train accountants and attorneys to represent taxpayers before the IRS.
And the tax rep portion of practice, it's a great value add, and it's a way to decommoditize yourself. There's good money in it. And I'd imagine, you know, with the onset of AI and the ramp up that the IRS has hired so many people and will continue to do so, I'd imagine that tax rep is going to become even more relevant in the coming years.
It is. We're already very busy. And just, you know, to step back at some background. So the IRS was taken to task by TIGDA, which is the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. They're the police over the IRS on 10 million non-filers that the IRS already knows about. And why are they not pursuing them? Combine that with the 15 million taxpayers who already owe balances to the government. So you've got 25 million taxpayers. That's one out of seven tax filers that are in trouble with the government. They are using much more AI and data to identify audit, you know, targets to audit, but also, interestingly, criminal investigation. So I'll give you an example. In 2020, Andrew, the IRS kind of woke up and said, you know, we have all this data that we've collected from the John Doe summonses on Coinbase and Kraken and Circle for virtual currency. We have all this data on the foreign assets through FATCA and all of these, you know, all the banks that they went after on the voluntary disclosure program. Why don't we take that data and compare that to what was listed by taxpayers who got an offer in compromise or filed to be uncollectible in the last 2 years? The number of collection cases that got referred to criminal went up 42%, because people are finally thinking, well, the government doesn't know about my Bitcoin. The government knows more than they think. And that is, AI and data are just shrinking the world for them. They know far more than you think they know. They are using it to target, you know, to make better audits, better criminal cases, and to put together patterns on people. So we are at, I think, the beginning of what is going to be a huge surge learning curve for the government, but they're learning quickly. All right. They are picking this up fairly quickly. But just as you said, it's a great value add service. If you're an accountant and you're already doing bookkeeping or tax returns, it's what most of, I mean, we're now up to almost 500 members all over the country. It's not a big leap to simply start helping taxpayers resolve tax debts. You already can do a tax return, and offering compromise isn't that complicated. And that's what we're finding is people, it's a service you can charge more for. It's a premium service. Taxpayers need you. And by the way, when you solve someone's tax problem, you have a client for life, because they're never
absolutely
gonna leave. Yeah.
When you cause the problem, you lose them. I've got a terrible anecdote on how my new one got me as a client.
You know, and what's funny is, so we have our CTRC, which is our certificate program, where we put you through 20 hours of in-depth training and certify you in tax representation. We actually had licensed it to the University of Connecticut Business School. We got the license back. And what's interesting is the folks who have taken it, we survey them, you know, how has it been? Was it worth it? Was it not worth it? What can be improved? All of that stuff. You know, we're always trying to get better. The feedback has been, not only was it great, the education and to get the certificate, they're actually getting more tax work. And here's why. They're getting folks coming to them. And of course, we're urging them, do not undercharge. Charge what you're worth. And that's the benefit. If you get busy, start charging more. You'll get rid of the ones you don't want. What they're finding are taxpayers are coming in saying, I don't have a tax problem, but if I have one, I know you can handle it. And it's actually been an attraction, not just for representation work, but for accounting and tax return preparation because of the designation. So, which is something we never really thought about, but yeah, it makes you very marketable. And again, with the IRS being funded and enforcement on the upswing, great time to get into this.
And, you know, we come back a lot of times on the show to decommoditizing the industry and decommoditizing your offering. And neck to neck, you know, people a lot of times, especially like a smaller business, right? It's like, oh, well, who do you know? Who do you use for taxes? And maybe there'll be a handful of people in that bag for compliance work that you're looking into. And it's like, well, if there is an issue, he's not going to be pawning it off to somebody else. He's certified to actually represent me should something go wrong. And most people want a one-stop shop. That's what we discovered in the IT world is, yes, we focus on the security and compliance pieces of it, but people will come to us literally this weekend. Lady was like, I hate being on Google Workspace. I want to migrate to Office 365. Can you do that for me also? We're not leading with that, but, you know, we have a value add, we have an opportunity, and, you know, an extra point of keeping your clients because they want it all under one roof. Like, it's great when you can make a referral to an expert, but it's even better when you are an expert. And from what I recall, a lot of the process when you're actually doing the representation, a lot of it can be boiled down to something that's fairly, I mean, not simple, but without needing to dive super, 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 super deep and you could get certified, which then puts you in a whole other level. But say you're certified and your first client comes to you with, I need representation. How difficult is it just for going from zero to one?
Not very. And so what's interesting, tax rep, for those people who are not familiar with it, we have live conferences. We do, you know, monthly live sessions with our members. We have all the 170 hours of on-demand training. The biggest thing that our members like is the help desk. You're not out doing this by yourself. So, you know, what we'll do is we'll get a member, they're going to start getting, you know, certified. You know, Eric, what do I do if I get a phone call? Take the case. This what? Take the case. There's a checklist on all these different areas. Download it. Do the intake. Tell the client, you know what? Let me mull this over. I'll get back to you. Give me a day or two. And I'll get back to you with our options. go onto the help desk and say, I just got a, innocent spouse case. I don't know what I'm doing. We will set up a Zoom with you and we will walk you through what to do. The help desk, you're not out there doing it by yourself, but what they find is, this isn't that complicated. When I give these live talks, if you give me 2 hours, I'll teach you how to do an offer and compromise. It's not that, it's a formula. It's not that complicated. Now, the goal, of course, is to get you from Padawan to Jedi Master, where now I understand the formula, but now I can start looking three-dimensional. What are we not spending, but we could, right? Where is the strategy, legitimate strategy to this? And it's always fun to watch people, and they'll message us saying, I just got another one accepted, and I thought of this, and I wouldn't have thought of that before. That's awesome. It's totally cool when they're excited. And by the way, it's funny when I asked for $5,000 and they gave it to me. It's frightening to them because they're used to doing $400, $500, 1040s. And we're like, no, $5,000 retainer, offer and compromise. You can do this. You have to get over the fear of making the ask. And these are taxpayers who need help. When they come to you, they need help. And I always get this, how do they afford it? They will come up with the money. It's like there's an old joke, if you're going to be a doctor, be a heart surgeon, not a podiatrist. You go in, the podiatrist, they tell you it's $200. They'll limp out and go somewhere else. Heart surgeon says it's $100,000. Who's going to argue price at a time like this, right?
Exactly.
When they are being levied, they have the lien fought with, they need help. They will come up with the money and pay. They'll borrow it from mom and dad, wherever. They need help, and they tend to be very motivated as clients to work with you.
The people, I think part of the mindset is a lot of times where you're taking on clients and maybe you're not a niched industry leader, but you're great at what you do and you're doing compliance work, all sorts of different industries, and don't have the foothold in the manufacturing industry where people are seeking you far and wide for your expertise in this one particular thing, where when you are in that position, yes, you're pushing away a ton of business, but you're demanding a premium on that one specific thing. So when people are coming to you with a 911 emergency, they need it right here, right now. They are drowning. They need oxygen, and whatever methods it takes to get that oxygen, they're going to do it. And so it changes from the, can you do my books? Well, this person offered, a much lower rate, so I'm just gonna, it's really not in my budget. Ironically, no one has a budget, right? But it's not in my budget for this. And it's like, representation against the IRS probably wasn't in your budget, and now you magically can do that because the value that's attached to it. You say to someone, I can give you a Ferrari for $500 a month. They're not like, whoa, I don't have a budget for $500 a month. It's like, Ferrari, $500? You assume it's like, oh, I want a Ferrari. But you get the idea. The value is there and they will come up with it.
Yeah, no, it's the problem with the 1040 business, the compliance business, is it's been commoditized by the national companies. So people are used to thinking, well, I can go in and, $200. And by the way, Andrew, you're just putting numbers in the computer, right? They don't value it because it's viewed as a commodity. And what has been interesting is for my tax rep members, inevitably what happens is we get the question, I'm getting very busy now doing both. Should I get rid of my 1040 practice? And the truth is, we usually will come back with, well, do you want to? If you don't really want to, and there are many who enjoy, there are some clients they enjoy. I said, look, here's what you do. On a Sunday with your favorite beverage, iced tea, whatever it is, alcoholic, whatever it is, sit down, pull your list of clients and rank them from A to F. The D's and the F's, fire them. Doesn't have to be mean. Send them a letter saying, look, we're very busy. We can't accommodate you. please go, you know, you're going to need to seek a new accountant. Best of luck. The B, C's, and A's raise the prices. What you want to do is end up getting paid what you're worth to work with a smaller number of clients. You'll make probably the same money, if not more money, because the worst clients are the biggest time sucks.
Definitely.
They don't respect your time. They don't respect boundaries. They don't pay on time. It, you know, when everyone's starting out, we're taking whatever we can get because we need it. Those folks have to go. And what you'll find now is tax season is not going to be this horrific grind. You'll get your life under control. You'll make more money doing less work. And you can do representation, advisory, financial planning, all these things that many of the tax pros find interesting and enjoyable, but they're too busy grinding it out, doing bookkeeping and tax prep. No. So I think as you add the value added service and you have that cash flow, it now frees you up to really deal with your compliance practice and bring that to really where it needs to be. Now, listen, ultimately, I do have some members that have just sold it off, but you don't have to if you don't want to. What it'll allow you to do is work with the people you want to work with and get paid what you're worth.
Yeah, we run through this every year where we look through our client list, and we've done it now, I think the last 3 years. And initially we were going to be really audacious. We were like, we're going to 80-20, get rid of the 20% and whatever. And then it's like, you know, if we've got 15,000 clients, like, are we actually going to let go of 3,000? So we kept whittling it down, and we landed on the worst 100, mm-hmm. right? And like you said, the worst 100 out of 15,000, the worst 100 were taking up, it was something like 25% of our time. And you look through the purchase history and it's like, they disputed this, they had a problem with that. Like, without fail, there was some red mark on their account where they got upset by some minuscule thing that everyone else is perfectly fine with, but they need special treatment. And, you know, not all dollars are created equal. And it's scary, though, the first time we did it, and we weren't on a giant upward swing either. Like, it was probably one of our worst years to do it, but it was like, we are doing nowhere near what we're capable of, but we're focusing so much time and attention on these low profit. Some of them, our biggest client was one of the first ones to go because they just sucked so much time out of us. 15,000 clients, and that one client had the workload of like a firm three times their size, and they were paying less than everyone else. And it was just like, gosh, we would never jump into this if we knew what was in store for us. Like, just imagine if that deal didn't close. We wouldn't care.
Yep. If you figured out the hours you put in, what you begin to discover is bigger is not better. So I'll give you an example. I get this all the time. Eric, wouldn't you rather just do like big criminal cases? Because what they see is $50,000 retainer, $100,000 retainer. No, I don't actually. Here's why. Yes, I can bill rate times hour, and I do charge at a good rate, but it's rate times hour. And I have a client that's under stress. Good chance they're going to jail. Nights, weekends, every time they go into meltdown, the spouse goes into meltdown, parents go into meltdown. I have calls. I'm meeting them on the weekend to talk them off the ledge. We're fighting with them because we want to hire a forensic accountant. They don't want to spend the money. And by the way, after the criminal case, you're not done. There's all the civil fallout that comes with it. So they tend to be big. Very involved. On offer and compromise, we charge $6,000. We can get it done for about $2,000 worth of time. They're very profitable, lower stress. I would take offers all day long. In fact, more and more, I'm turning away the big criminal cases and referring them to friends of mine. No, it's when you look, you know, and maybe it's because I'm middle-aged. I'm older than you are. I'm reaching the point where, like, how do I want to spend what limited time I have? And we have clients, you must have had this, Andrew. We have clients that call up and they start complaining. And really what they're looking for is a break, or they want a discount or whatever. I'm the first one to say, you know what? You're clearly unhappy. We're going to return whatever the balance of your money is. We'll send you back your file. Go find somebody you'd be happy with. And they're like, whoa, wait. No, that's not where I want to go. I'm like, well, if you're angling for a discount, we're not discounting. Go somewhere else. You'll be happier somewhere else.
And when you set boundaries, it makes them actually act in accordance to how, like, people act how you teach them right. That you can be treated. So if you
trained your clients if you allow them to treat you a certain way, they're going to do it, and you've allowed it to happen. That's hard to do when you're starting out. Oh, yeah. I would never have done it 25 years ago. Never. And now you can ask my assistant. I am quick to fire anybody if I don't like them. Get lost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you get to that position by being profitable, having a strong foundation, and knowing that you can fall back on other things. So you can take your time back, but that's only going to happen if you are running a profitable organization. And I see it in the IT. I try to keep off social media as much as I can, but I'll go on Facebook. Like the other day, I needed to get a picture of my newborn. And I knew my wife posted our pictures on Facebook. And so then I get sucked in, you know, the algorithm knows how to suck me in. And people are like, oh, well, I'm doing this, that, and this for the client. And, you know, he's mad that I'm charging him $360 a year. And then people are like commenting, like, $360 a year, you mean $360 a month, right? And you're like, no, like in my market, like $30 a month is like too high for a lot of these people. And I used to get involved in the conversation, and it's just like, you know, you're never going to be able to grow, get out of your own business, be able to delegate things to other people. Like, you know, a firm with 25 people, you have to be generating some sort of revenue to be able to pay 25 people,
right?
And you can't do that but by being the most, like, the lowest cost, because there isn't profit in that. And then you get undercut by someone else who's willing to. So it's a race to the bottom for what? So you can do more work and get paid less?
You know, it's funny. I found this out at, you know, he was our commissioner, Chuck Reddick. When Chuck was a private, I've known him for 20 years. When he was in private practice, he told me once, because I was telling him, like, look, you have these Beverly Hills. He was in Beverly Hills, California, where their firm was. You have these Beverly Hills clients. My clients are in New Haven. And he said, you know, no. He said, I get it, right? You're not going to charge $1,000 an hour. The market won't bear it. He said, but I'll tell you what. You want to go get higher end clients. Why? It's the same work. An offer for someone in Greenwich is the same as an offer for somebody in New Haven. The formula is the same. The process is the same. But he said there, at the time I was like $2,500 for an offer. He said there, you tell them $7,500, they're not going to bat an eye. And they didn't. I would go down there and to the point where, you know, we generally take $10,000 retainers. In fact, they almost think we're too cheap because they're looking at New York where they want $50,000 minimum retainers. You'd be better off with fewer higher end clients than being the low cost volume, because in many ways they're the worst clients to deal with. They're less sophisticated. They're very money conscious. They don't want to pay for anything. You're better off getting two clients for every 10 of those. You know, it takes time to do that, but yeah, no, it's a hard lesson to learn because it's frightening. When I first suggested to tax rep members to fire off their DNF clients, like I got hate mail. Like, you know, that's 20% of my practice. I said, all right, how about this? Let's do it in reverse. Take your best clients. When's the last time you increased your prices? Some of them had never. I said, tell them, look, software, everything goes up. we're going up, go $50 across the board. And of course, very few of any left. So I said, now you got more income, go fire the F clients. I said, if you really want to do it, let's do it in reverse. And sure enough, over a year or two, get rid of the clients you don't want, and you increase the others to where you need to be. And at some point, you're going to, I have one of my members every 3 years sells off 80% of his practice. He picks his top 20 or 30 clients and sells the rest to another accountant. And he said, just from referrals, he'll build back up again, then he'll sell off 80%. And he just keeps doing that.
That's an incredible model. And no one's going to be upset working with the best of the best clients. But you get there. It isn't an overnight thing. It is a process, but it's a process that I think a lot of people are hesitant on. And, you know, they let the fear creep in of, well, what if this, what if that? But the reality is, you know, it's like you could get another job at McDonald's and you'd bring in an extra 20 grand a year, but you'd have to be working full time at McDonald's. It's like, oh, well, I'd never do that. It's like, well, you take on McDonald's clients to waste your time doing that. And it's more than zero, but you have to have a value on your time. You have to have a value on your headspace. And I mean, I could tell you from our side, like getting rid of the worst clients. And mind you, of those 15,000 that I mentioned, only maybe 200 know me. And the people that I sell are always like our worst clients. Like someone comes in, it's like, oh gosh, Andrew's the one that sold them like a lot of the people that we fired off were people that I knew personally, which a lot of people in the tax and compliance world, like we know our people personally. And so we can kind of build up the story of, well, you know, yeah, they're not a good client, but
and I've like, known them for 4 years. I've known them for 7 years, whatever.
Yeah. There's just so many deals that don't end up closing. And we don't sit there dwelling on them. We just keep living our lives. So it's like, pretend this deal didn't close. Would you go out of your way to get it back, knowing what you know now? And we do that with employees. Like we had to let someone go that's been with us for a very, very long time, brought in tons of revenue over 7 years. And it was like, would we hire him if he didn't work here? Would we pick him knowing all of the issues that come along with picking him? Or would we maybe look at someone else? And it's like, well, of course we wouldn't bring him in knowing this. And it's like, then why do we keep him knowing right. What we know? So it's also just framing it in a way that's easier to swallow. And like you said, raise the rates on the higher people, and a majority of people are undercharging. And I get emails from people saying, you charge too much money. I haven't raised my rates on my clients in over 20 years. And it's like, well, that's unfortunate. You know, that's very unfortunate that Walmart raises their rates.
Listen, I would tell that person, that's awesome. You have a place where they never raise your rent. Your employees don't want any raises. The software costs the same every year. That's got to get me in on that deal. My stuff goes up every year. My staff want raises. The landlord, the rent in our agreement seems to go up every year. We agreed to it. The utilities seem to go up randomly. Hell, the coffee and the creamer go up in cost every year.
Yeah. Well, also, and you position yourself when you have tax rep as something that is a value add to your clients. If you're able to add additional value, then it's our prices are going up because we have more value that we can offer you.
You know, if you want to have the best people working there, I mean, you know, we need to charge accordingly for me to hire the most competent people, the best people to work on your file, your case. I mean, yeah. Nobody wants to hear that I hired some cheap associates who don't know what they're doing, but we saved money. No one. If it's my case, I don't want to hear that shit.
No, right? Never.
I want to hear, hey, Eric, we got some really good, top-notch associates. They have a lot of experience in this. That's what I want to hear. Not, hey, listen, they're kind of incompetent, but you're going to save some money. That's not what I want to hear.
No, because you have an objective at the end of the day that not everybody can get you to what that objective is. And understanding, and you know, price isn't always the best determinant either. Because when COVID started and we went remote and we hired someone in like Iowa, Idaho, one of those states. And I mean, he was charging, he came in and was like the second highest paid person in the company. Accolades up and down. And it was like, you know, if we're paying a premium, we are going to get just a stellar employee. And we didn't. So there's still people that you can get on your team that are very skilled that you don't have to pay top dollar for. But when you get them and recognize them, it's not a problem to pay more when you've got more value coming in. And so, you know, that comes to you're providing more value to your clients. You are more valuable. And when value goes up, prices should naturally follow. And if your clients are so self like, oh, I can't afford this, you also have the fallback of, all right, look, we'll keep you at your rate. Okay. Everyone's happy, right? Like in your nightmare scenario, like there are also alternatives, or they say, I can't do this. And you say, I guess we'll part ways. And that's okay too. You know, there's so many different ways that it can play out. And they're not gonna all say, how dare you? Like, I'm suing you now because you raise it. It is a part of doing business. And if you would like your business to grow and thrive, add value added services. So Eric, thank you so much for being on the show. You've got a webinar coming up on
Wednesday.
A webinar. August 23rd, we'll be talking on cybersecurity compliance and things like that. And we'll have links to all this in the show notes. But Eric, any final comments before we hop off?
No, I mean, I think in terms of IRS stuff, great time to get into that. But our program on Wednesday to talk about IRS, they are banging the drum. They're beating the war drum on data breach stuff and holding tax pros responsible. So our program is going to be on PCI compliance and dealing with all of that. If you're listening, can sit in, do so, because I never really gave it much thought until I know someone who had a breach. They're talking about $500,000 fines for this. I mean, aside from the reputational damage and your clients firing you if there's a breach, the IRS, if that doesn't bury you, the IRS is going to. So, I think right now we talked about data and AI being a great opportunity. The bad guys use it too. And so it's the compliance now in this area is even more critical. So I'm looking forward to the talk on Wednesday. I think it's going to be a very interesting talk.
Yeah. Well, Eric, great having you on the show. And sure, our paths will cross at conferences or something along the way. But until next time, thanks everyone. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to give it a thumbs up and share. And Eric, you have a great day. It's great talking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Tech Talk for Accountants show. I hope you enjoyed today's guest. And remember, you can go to tech4accountants.net/podcast to book a complimentary IT audit conducted by a technician certified by the AICPA in cybersecurity. Again, that's tech4accountants.net/podcast.